Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here today on this beautiful Sabbath morning that we've come in to worship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God the Father in His presence here among us, and as I've said before, our Holy Spirit, the guardian angels around this place as we worship our Lord and Savior. Looks like it's going to be a nice day again today. Warmth here, but they're going to fall back into the 60s this next week, but I guess we can stand that at this time of the year. They still have to have our fans on in the house already and the windows open, everything else but there. But as we've come together today, you know that we can hold fast to the rich promises that God has given to us, the faith that we can have to cherish to receive of Him the things that He has promised, especially His grace. And Sharon, thank you for putting that on the front of that bullet today. Amazing grace. Isn't that beautiful? The amazing grace of God to ones that don't even deserve it. God is so wonderful. God has prepared everything for us that we can't even imagine. We don't have the words to describe what we have in store for us when we reach heaven. And on this earth made new. But we have the assurance and the promise right now that we can be there if we follow Jesus. If we have that faith and the belief in Him. Today I want to talk about grace. I took this sermon from the Ministerial Association. Some of the words are mine, but some of them are not. But let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God, so wonderful that Thou art, that we may praise and honor Thy name each and every day, but especially on the Sabbath day when we come in to sup with Thee, to honor and praise Thy holy name. The one who gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross, to shed His blood for each and every one. Oh, the grace that You give to us, Father, as sinners, as ones who deserve death. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we may put on His robe of righteousness and that we may wear it for eternity. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, grace, the hope and comfort of God's children. And we know that Paul used the word grace in all of his epistles from beginning to end, except for probably Hebrews. But they all began with and ended with grace within the first, few verses or at the end. But as before we consider grace, let's look at grace as a gift. And if you would turn to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew 20, it's all familiar to us. The account is the parable of the vineyard workers and how the land order was good to them. We see that some of the, where he starts right out there, that we see some of the laborers started work early in the morning and then some started later in the afternoon. But at the end of the day, the overseer was told to pay them the same wage, a denarius, a penny. Doesn't seem like much money, but what it could buy in those days was different from today. But the workers that had worked all day, before that, as he paid the same wage there, but the workers there that had worked all day murmured and thought that that was unfair. But then Jesus describes this scene to them. And it was familiar to his listeners as he described it to them. He was trying to help his followers understand something important about the kingdom of God and about the grace that we have through the kingdom. And it is to give us a spiritual lesson of those in those days and today. And it's not about unfair wages or even discrimination. Jesus was illustrating God's grace in words and terms that they could understand. words and terms that we can understand today. One thing you can notice is all the laborers were unemployed before the landowner hired them. They were hired out of his goodwill. Anything that they contributed to them being hired. And we know that grace is a gift. And as we know, taking a gift is a free gift, but we have to accept it. And this parable shows what grace means to us. It's not a matter of whether we have a talent or whether we've worked a long time. Grace depends totally on the gracious and loving nature of God Himself. Receiving God's grace is a privilege for sinners. That's you and I. We deserve nothing but condemnation. For we know that we have disobeyed God. But this kingdom of grace is given because of the nature of the giver and not the receiver. The landowner promised the first group fair wages, and they accepted it. They went to work for them. And then to the rest, an undetermined amount, whatever he deemed he wanted to pay that was fair. And when night came, they all were paid the same wage, an entire day's pay. And as I said, the earlier workers grumbled. They thought it was unfair to pay wages equally to each worker because they all did not do the same amount of work. But the landowner did not pay anything less than what he promised. And yes, he offered a premium to some. But no one was underpaid. Some were treated with unreasonable generosity, just as we are today. Everyone received the owner's kindness and attention. And this is God's grace, a free gift given to each and every one that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Undeserved favor given by God's own will. And in this parable, Jesus gives a clear warning to the Jews of his day. They knew that they were a chosen people. And as a result of that, they looked down on the Gentiles, even to the point of wanting them to be killed. And this attitude that they had could have been carried into the Christian church. As he was telling them, or they were thinking that if the Gentiles were allowed into the fellowship of the church, the early Christians might feel that they had to come in as inferiors. And we read in other parts of the Bible that that's about what they thought. But in God's kingdom, there's no most favored nation, as Israel thought they were. They thought just because God had chosen them, they would enter the kingdom. And they didn't have to do anything else. But he might have said to these people receiving the great privilege of coming into the church early, and then others that would follow them, but they couldn't claim a special place or position just because they were the Christians that came in early. And this parable also speaks to people who think that they're superior because of heritage or favored position in the church. Or the ones that feel superior because they spent a long time in the church. And also to new believers, assuring them of God's grace. And we know that God's grace is so wonderful that each one of us wants a piece of it and part of it. To have that grace that brings peace and tranquility to each and every one of us. Even in this time that we see everything going around, where the economy is gone, unemployment, there's sickness, sadness, destruction of all kinds. but the glory and the joy that we can have in our hearts. We shouldn't be downtrodden, no matter what has happened, because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And it doesn't matter whether the kingdom or the person enters the kingdom of God or when. We are all equal in God's eyes. It's about salvation. It's not about rewards, as many people think that they will receive. And we will. We will receive a reward when we enter heaven. But it's not based on our works or what we have done. It's about God's grace, his generosity. And many of us can't understand that, how God can be so generous to ones that are undeserving. But we can't begrudge those who turn to God in the last moments of their lives. In reality, no one deserves eternal life. Many people don't expect to be seen in heaven. We'll be there. The thief on the cross, a criminal that repented as he was dying, along with many people who have been with God for many years. They will all be in the kingdom. And we will be able to see that in many aspects as we go over the books during that 1,000-year reign that we will be with Christ in heaven. And this is the incredible generosity of God. The workers did not do the same amount of work, but they received the same wage. And it's not the amount of service given, but the love in which we give that service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God gives to us is because of his grace, his wonderful grace that he has for each one of us. And we can't earn what God gives us. We never deserve it. It is that free gift of the grace that he gives to us, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were yet sinners, he sent his only Son into this world to die for each and every one of us. If we can just contemplate upon that, we should be down on our knees every day, giving our love to God for such generosity. And Paul himself said he was the chief of sinners, totally dependent on God's grace. And Paul said in Galatians 6:14 that he only wanted to be glorified in the cross. So with that, let's look at God's grace and its relationship on Christians, each one of us. And how do we define grace? We said we know that unmerited favor, generosity. But grace is what gives us joy, pleasure, and delight. And the original Greek word is charis. And it's used that way in the New Testament in reference to speech. The words of Jesus were spoken with grace. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. The work of the Christians are to impart grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4, 29. Grace is defined as goodwill, loving kindness, and favor. It means the kind of kindness that a master gives to his servant, especially of God giving to man. The kindness that God gives to each and every one of us. Charis is the idea of kindness bestowed on one not deserving. In the New Testament, it is used primarily of the kindness by which God bestows favor on the undeserving. And then he grants sinners the pardon for their offenses. Ephesians 2:5 tells us that, bidding them to accept eternal salvation through Christ, unmerited favor that none of us deserve. Number three, grace is an expression of gratitude for favor bestowed. 1 Timothy 1:12. And these three are the main ways grace is used in the New Testament. And we can look at God's grace, trying to catch a glimpse of the depth of His glorious kindness to us. The soul that respond to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. Desire of Ages, page 348. And then grace in a Christian. Number one, we are saved by grace. Salvation is first and last and almost always a matter of grace. You can receive it no other way. God doesn't owe us anything. We are sinners. We deserve damnation. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 6:23. That's 6:23 there, the first verse I've ever memorized. God in His loving kindness to man gives to man salvation as a gift. Titus 3, verses 3 and 7. But we have to respond to God's loving invitation. As I said, that free gift, we have to reach out our hand for it. We have to accept it for it to work in our lives. And we have to follow certain steps. Believe. Repent. Confess our sins. And be baptized. And if you would look in Luke chapter 17, Luke 17, verse 10. Luke 17, verse 10. Even in doing these, we do not earn or merit salvation. We are still unworthy servants to God. Second, God's grace also requires holy living. Are we living that holy life that we need to? No person saved by grace is free to do whatever he thinks. Once saved, always saved is not true. Titus chapter 2. If you turn there. Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 through 13. Titus 2, 11 through 13. Here Paul tells us that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly, and to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. We always to have that hope in our lives, and that we will be in that first resurrection, to be able to see the glorious appearing of our Savior. But then look at verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The unmerited favor of God is no excuse to go on sinning. Holy living requires God's grace. And for us to live soberly, righteously, in goodness requires the grace of God. We cannot do it on ourselves. But with God's help, we can have victory. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 talks to us also Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Tells us that he works in us to do his will. By his strength, we can do all the things that he desires us to do. But then we must grow in grace. If we're going to live holy lives, we need to grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. God has so much to share with us. In this life and in the life to come. Ephesians 2:7. We can grow in grace by heeding the word of God, Acts 20:32, and by drawing near to God in prayer, Hebrews 4:16. But it is possible to receive God's grace in vain. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, without effect or success. We must not seek justification just for the sin that we have. We cannot go any other place to receive that justification. Galatians 5:4. To seek salvation by works alone, everyone will fail. No one is able to do it because we are sinners. And it's also, we cannot use God's grace for immortality. If we read in Jude 4, it says something about that, where some were using grace as an excuse for shameful behavior. But we know God's grace requires a holy living, and I pray that each one of us doing that to the best of our ability. But willful and impenitent sinning, we despise the spirit of grace. Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31. It tells us that for such persons, it no longer remains a sacrifice for them, only a fearful expectation of the judgment to come. And there is a judgment to come. And if we don't want that judgment to fall on us, we need to give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ daily, to die daily for our Savior. Salvation does not come by position, career, or by works. It comes totally from God's grace. And let us all reach heaven so that we can understand God's way. His grace is beyond any idea that we have today. But to receive God's grace in vain, what a tragedy that will be. To receive his grace and then throw it away, as we do many things in this life today. And if we are to receive his gift of grace at all, or having received it, fail to grow in his grace. Once we have that grace, we need to keep it, and we need to grow in it. Hebrews 12, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 15 and verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 15 and 28. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 13:9 tells us, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Jesus paid the price for for all of our sins, for the ones that trust in Him. And we can all receive God's grace because of it. What an amazing grace. Unmerited favor. Generosity of a God that we serve and a Savior that we serve. Grace be with you all. Amen. Hebrews 13:25. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and for all eternity. Thank you, Father, that as children of the living God, we have that assurity, that is an assurance of eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that He comes soon. In Jesus' precious name, amen.